This is WHTC in Holland. Time now for Wellspring. And here is Sarah Donkersloot.
Thanks, Juke. Good morning and welcome to Wellspring, a live broadcast sponsored by Spectrum Health Zealand Community Hospital. If you or a loved one has COPD, there are steps to take to help cope with the lifestyle changes this disease brings. With me this morning to talk about this disease is Nancy Wall, a registered respiratory therapist at Zealand Community Hospital. Good morning, Nancy. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you become a respiratory therapist, and why did you want to do that?
Well, it was honestly, it was a practical decision. I didn't know anything about the profession when I signed up to do it. I wanted to take the course to find a job and support myself, but it was a great choice, and I've never regretted it.
And what do you enjoy about it?
Besides the fact that I love meeting the patients and their families, I love respiratory because we're all over the hospital. We work with every patient population doing a variety of things.
So when you talk about all areas of the hospital, you're in the ER. What do you do in the ER?
Well, one minute I'm in the ER assessing a patient's breathing. The next minute I'm in the ICU drawing blood to check the oxygen level. A little while later I might be putting a heart monitor on an outpatient. And I also love the hospital culture where every person is highly esteemed.
And how many years have you been doing this?
28 years.
28 years. And you came from the South, and you still have that wonderful Southern accent.
Yep, I moved to Michigan from North Carolina 16 years ago, and I've been in Michigan a long time, but I still like the snow. Am I in trouble for saying that?
No, that's fine. So what is COPD?
COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. It's a progressive disease that affects the airways, making it increasingly more difficult to breathe.
So if someone has emphysema, is that COPD?
It is.
What other?
Well, chronic bronchitis can be considered COPD if a person has it three consecutive years, for at least 3 months out of the year, three years in a row. That's considered COPD as well.
What about people who have asthma?
That's a tough question. There may be a small subset of asthma patients that have it, but COPD has to do with the airflow when you breathe out and the effects of the pulmonary function studies shows that certain people have COPD, but asthma is not necessarily
okay.
COPD.
Is there a genetic predisposition to have COPD?
It is. 85% of the people with COPD get it from smoking, but the other 15% are just genetically predisposed to develop the disease.
Okay, you know, you talk about smoking. What happens when someone smokes? What's happening to their lungs?
Well, it's the tar in the cigarettes that causes COPD because it reduces the elasticity in the lungs. But some people quit smoking by wearing a nicotine patch, which makes perfect sense because the nicotine is what they are addicted to, but it doesn't cause COPD. So if they can wear the patch, they can wean themselves off the nicotine, and then they're not exposing themselves to the tar.
So when we're talking about tar, are we literally thinking about like the tar that is on the streets?
The exact same thing. The tar is deposited in our lungs. And if you looked at the lungs on the autopsy, you would see the black tar in the lungs.
If you have a question, you may call WHTC at 395-1450. That's 395-1450. So are some people more at risk for developing COPD?
Yes, people have varying degrees of lung sensitivity, all the way from severe asthmatics to people who wheeze only a little when they get a chest cold, while the people who have the sensitivity are the ones who, if they smoke, could get COPD quite early.
So at what age could someone develop COPD? Is it usually when someone's older?
Usually we see people diagnosed when they're in their 60s, but I have seen people as young as 40. If they have the especially sensitive lungs and they continue to smoke, you can get it as early as 40, and it's a very debilitating disease, so it's a sad thing to see a 40-year-old with COPD.
So what are some of the symptoms?
They have increased mucus production, shortness of breath, wheezing, the inability to pursue normal activities, which also can lead to depression.
So how is it diagnosed?
people go through a pulmonary function test.
Okay, I'm going to stop you here again because some people who are not medical, and even, you know, my background is not medical either. What is a pulmonary function test?
Okay, well, in the hospital, we have a room that's designated for pulmonary function tests. We have this high-tech machine that you blow into, and the respiratory therapist will have you do a variety of maneuvers, blowing in, blowing fast, breathing out, and these different things that measure the volume in your lungs and how fast you breathe out and the airflow and all of these things. Well, you have this test done, and then they give you a medicine called a bronchodilator through a nebulizer, which causes the muscles in your airways to relax.
And why is that necessary to have?
Because when you do the test and then you take the medicine and then you do the same exact test again, the difference, the response that your lungs have to the medication shows if you have COPD and how far it has progressed.
Okay, when you're talking about how far it has progressed, are there different degrees of COPD?
Actually, there are. There are four stages that we classify COPD. Stage one is considered the mild, and stage two, moderate. Stage three is severe COPD, and stage four is very severe COPD, and these people live with extreme shortness of breath, 24 hours a day.
So let's go back to the first stage.
Okay.
What are going to be some of the symptoms of that stage?
The very first clue that a person has COPD is increased mucus production and some shortness of breath when they're doing certain activities.
Okay.
They'll start noticing that they're short of breath when they're going up the stairs, and they start having a little bit of a productive cough. That can be the very beginning signs of COPD.
Okay. Then as you progress to stage two and three, it's just more severe of all of those symptoms?
Just more shortness of breath, more mucus production. You can a lot of wheezing at certain times, especially when you're exposed to certain triggers, you can have wheezing. And unable to do your normal activities. Sometimes they just drop off certain things they used to always do. They just can't do them anymore.
So if you're diagnosed with COPD, how is it going to be treated?
Well,
a variety of treatment for the severity of it?
Yeah, well, the first treatment is a rescue inhaler, which asthmatics also use that, a bronchodilator rescue inhaler.
Okay, so what does that do? And when do people use it?
The rescue inhaler, if someone is short of breath and their chest is tight and they're wheezing, they can take the bronchodilator, and its immediate effect opens their lungs. It causes the airways to relax. And that might be what the only thing somebody needs in the beginning. But then as time goes on, they need also a long-acting bronchodilator. And then when they have a flare-up, which COPD is marked by flare-ups, where we call them exacerbations, where they have a period where they are exposed to triggers or a virus, or for whatever reason they get an inflammation in their lungs, and then they have a really hard time and often have to go to the hospital for treatment. But they might go on a steroid as well, and of course oxygen is prescribed, and some people wear oxygen 24 hours a day.
You know, I'm going to go back to, you said, you know, that 85% of the people have COPD because of smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if someone is listening out there, what would you say to them if currently they're a smoker?
I would say stop smoking, because the only thing that can really make COPD better is to not smoke. Everything else is about treating the symptoms of the disease.
So, okay, but somebody may be saying, okay, you know, I'm 40, you know, I have this tar in my lungs. Is it irreversible? Why stop if the damage has already been done?
Well, actually, between the ages of 35 and 40, if a person can quit when they're that age, there is some degree of reversibility. Then after 40, not so much. But if you stop, it doesn't progress as quickly, and you don't continue to do the damage. But if you quit early, when you're still 35 to 40, some of the damage is reversible.
You know, and what suggestions would you have for someone who's out there?
Well, we made a decision
says, you know,
to use Lakeshore Memorial
many,
Services.
Many times. What would you say to them? How should they go about doing it?
First of all, they should go to the computer and Google smoking cessation, because there is a plethora of resources out there, and there's help. There's all kinds of ways to track your progress. You should be encouraged, because if you can just stop getting the tar in your lungs, then you're going to be getting better. So do the nicotine patch, where you just wean yourself off the nicotine and try to cut back. If you just can't quit smoking, at least start smoking less, fewer cigarettes, wean your cigarettes down. Talk to other people who have done it. That can be very encouraging, to talk to people that have already quit. And there are people that are willing to talk. There's hotlines you can call if you're having trouble and you need support. There's hotlines you can call 24 hours a day. People that have already quit are willing to encourage you with this.
We're entering the flu season. Is it important for people with COPD to get a flu and a pneumonia vaccine?
Yes, it is. The CDC recommends that everyone over 6 months be vaccinated for this particular flu season, okay. And all adults over 65 should get the pneumonia vaccine, along with younger people who have certain risk factors.
So why, though, is it so important for someone with COPD to get it?
Because their lungs are susceptible to, they shouldn't even be exposed to family members who are sick or who have the cold or common viruses. They should try to protect themselves from that kind of exposure.
Well, and the flu that we're talking about is not the gastro flu. It's respiratory.
Yeah, it could do them in because their lungs are already compromised, and if they get this, they could develop a whopping pneumonia, and they couldn't even deal with it. So it's very important that they get vaccinated.
So what should family and caregivers of people with COPD know about it, and how can they encourage them?
Well, the only thing that can really make it better is for them not to smoke. So without nagging, try your best to get them not to smoke. But also, when they're struggling with their breathing and they're having a flare-up, they need to go to the emergency room for treatment. Because if the longer you wait, the more difficult it is to get them back to baseline. But also, you need to encourage them to exercise because they need to keep moving.
Now, somebody may be out there who's listening and they have lung problems, and they're going to think, why in the world or how can I exercise, first of all, if it's hard for me to breathe? What would you say to them?
Well, that's the thing. People have in their mind that exercise is about lifting weights and running marathons, but you can exercise just sitting in your chair. You can do breathing exercises. You can do stretching exercises. You can do yoga. You can do isometrics. But you need to keep your muscles moving. You need to keep doing this because if you don't, then your arms and legs get weak, and it just a snowball effect downward with your shortness of breath and your weakness. And also, when you stop your activities, it leads to depression. And the depression needs to be treated. We don't need these people to be depressed because that even makes it worse. So,
yeah, and I think any time you have a chronic disease, depression can set in because you feel like there's no hope.
Yeah, I think that we have to be careful with this because there is a lot of people that don't typically suffer with depression. But as human beings, when we get short of breath, we get anxious too. It doesn't matter how stoic you are, there will be some degree of anxiety with shortness of breath. And the same with COPD. You can be a perfectly stoic individual, but when you get to the later stages of COPD, it will be somewhat depressive, and this should be treated and addressed and treated because it can keep it from getting worse.
Does Zealand Community Hospital offer any support for people with COPD?
Yes, we have a Better Breathers support group where we offer encouragement and guidance on a variety of topics from nutrition and exercise and help planning daily activities. And we also have a new exciting program that teaches COPD patients how to play the harmonica.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit. I know you've been here about the harmonica program. It's been very successful, hasn't it?
It has. People have really enjoyed it, and it helps their breathing a lot. They say that they can do things they weren't able to do before they started the program.
And what is it about the harmonica?
It's the unique actual physics behind how you blow it and how it affects the airflow in your lungs. There's a little back pressure when you're blowing out and when you're sucking in. So it creates your airways get more open, and it stimulates you to cough up mucus. And it's very effective.
So where can people get more information about the harmonica program? They can call the community relations office,
exactly.
Correct? They can call.
Yes.
You know, if you're interested about the Better Breathers Club or the harmonica program at the hospital, you can call 616-748-2834. That's 616-748-2834. And Nancy, you're involved in the Better Breathers Club. I know, you know, you talked about your role, that you're in the hospital, you know, you're working in the ICU, you're working in the ER, you're doing pulmonary function tests, but one of your roles is also doing what you're doing now, education,
yes, yes.
And being in the Better Breathers Club and with the harmonica program. What do you enjoy about that?
Well, actually, I play the banjo, so I enjoy the bluegrass music and the gospel music, and I like to accompany them sometimes. I just love the music. I love bringing music into the hospital. I think it's very healing. I think it's a very good thing, and it's creates a healing environment.
So, you know, where can people learn more about COPD? Can you recommend any books or websites?
There's an excellent website called the COPD Foundation, and they have different sections for patients and different sections for caregivers, and it's a really good resource, and they have information that can be printed off. But also, I would encourage you to Google smoking cessation, because you'll get a plethora of websites and really cool software that can help you with quitting smoking.
And thanks for being here today, Nancy.
Thank you.
And if you would like more information about Zeeland Community Hospital's Better Breathers Club or our harmonica program, you can call 748-2834. And next week, we're going to talk about GERD with Dr. Ben Dozman. Until next week, Zeeland Community.
Thanks for listening to Wellspring, a service of Spectrum Health, Zeeland Community Hospital, on 1450 WHTC, your hometown station.